The Active Investment Company Alliance's Roundtable Conference, now in its fifth year, addresses the latest trends, developments, and investment strategies from quality fund sponsors. It's Wednesday, November 15th in Manhattan, and it's a full day of informative panels, great speakers, valuable networking, and more. AICA is known for combining high-quality, advisor-centric content, which encourages meaningful discussions and interaction. This isn't a pay-to-speak dog and pony show. AICA invites the names members want to hear from and strives to facilitate and grow relationships for institutional investors, financial advisors, service providers, and fund sponsors within the industry. The event is approved for 7 continuing education credits. Get more information at AICAlliance.org and save 30% on event roundtable registration costs with the code Navigator30.
John Colescott of Closed End Fund Advisors is here, and we're reviewing what happened to closed end funds during the third quarter. Welcome to The Navigator. This is The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization that represents all facets of the closed-end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, the Navigator is going to point you in the right direction. And today, it's bringing us back in the direction of John Colescott, president at Closed End Fund Advisors in Richmond, Virginia, which is online at cefadvisors.com. We're about to dig into the firm's research, and you can do that yourself at cefdata.com. And John is also the chairman of the Active Investment Company Alliance, which you can learn about at aicalliance.org. John Colescott, great to chat with you again.
Always good to be here, Chuck.
So this is the 47th consecutive quarter that you at Closed End Fund Advisors have done a quarterly overview, a quarterly review, and we want to just kind of dig in and see what happens. So let's start with asset flows in closed-end funds.
Yeah, so over the course of the 60-minute session, we'll cover like 65 slides. We're going to cover the highlights, the most timely pieces here. And so the listed closed-end fund universe is about $315 billion in gross assets. The listed BDC universe, about $130 billion. You look at interval closed-end funds, $85 billion. The non-listed private BDC market's about $155 billion. And when you bring that together, you know, traditional funds, you combine listed closed-end funds, interval funds, roughly $400 billion or 58% of the assets. And then the total BDC marketplace is $285 billion in investments. That's 42% for just over $700 billion in total universe assets. And again, it's worth noting this year, though it's been said before, zero IPOs, 3 closed-end fund deaths, and 12 mergers.
And we should point out, as you talked about this being in a slide and part of a presentation, this was part of a presentation that you made this week. It is available to folks by going to cefadvisors.com/quarterly. So we're going to keep picking up more of this, but and we maybe put it out of order. But if you want to get in and be watching or check out more of what John is saying, that's where you're going for more information. Okay, so now we know what's been happening with asset flows. What about total return?
Yeah, so the average closed-end fund, which includes BDCs in our index, is off 2.4% total return for this third quarter. However, they're still up 6% year-to-date, and on a one-year basis, positive 13%. About 70% of closed-end funds had negative quarterly returns, and 89% of the funds ended below the net asset value or at a discount. But let's talk about some of the sectors that were winners. Now, BDCs, still only 86% of the funds had positive returns for the quarter, but they averaged 7% in the third quarter, and they're up about 20% year-to-date. This is all total return. MLP closing funds, 93% were positive for the quarter. They averaged 3% and up 11% year-to-date. And the senior loan sector, another great winner, 100% of funds were positive on the quarter with an average 6% quarterly return, up a total return of 14% year to date.
Well, that's our winners on total return. What about our losers on total return?
So shouldn't surprise investors based on previous conversations, but the muni bond sector, 100% of funds were negative on the quarter at negative 10%. And that's roughly their year-to-date returns, also negative 10 total return. The REIT real asset category, every fund in the sector was off and averaged 7%, and they're off 5% year to date. And then a big basket of U.S. equity, international, covered call funds. 91% of these funds were negative on the quarter, a 4.5% pullback. However, that group being equity-based is up 7.5% year to date.
Now, as we pointed out, we were discussing total return. Anybody who is a fan of closed-end funds is also wanting to look at net asset value, the NAV in Navigator here. So were there winners and losers? Were they the same winners and losers when we were looking at fund performance by NAV?
Great question. Some same, some different in the rankings. Senior loans up 3.5 NAV, MLP up 2.5, but preferred up 1% NAV, duration asset getting hit on discounts. Losers, utilities infrastructure off 9.5, REIT real asset off 8, muni off 7.5, but convertible bond funds, you know, the more equity side of a bond, down 5% NAV. And those differences in the two groups is the discount movement between the asset classes, because that connects to the total result.
Okay. Now, of course, what a lot of investors would tell you they're most interested in isn't necessarily total return or NAV. It's what kind of pad am I getting? What's happening with yields? So what was the yield trend?
Yeah, so we tracked the press releases. You know, about 7% of releases were positive for closed-end funds, about an average 11% increase. And when you benchmark it versus the previous year average, which is 9%, it's positive. About 6% were decreases, a 7% average distribution cut versus that same one-year average benchmark of negative 11. Both of those trends are improving. Almost 70% of funds have changed their policy, both up or down, in the last 2 years. 44% have been cuts, an average of 15% in that period, 25% increasing, an average 12%, and 31% have had no change in the last 2 years.
And what kind of current yields should I be expecting?
So looking at current yields is the forward-looking story versus the previous was the reverse. Equity funds averaging 8.5, but a one-year dividend growth rate of negative 2.5, mostly because equity funds are generally down, but the three-year up 12%. Taxable funds, bond funds, up a 10.8% indicated yield. Dividend growth rate, 6% 1 year, 10 for 3 year. Munis, they're currently looking at a 4.8 dividend rate. The 1 year growth is negative 21% and the 3 year negative 26. But it's worth noting that munis are federally tax-free. Their tax equivalent yields are roughly 7 to 8% for many high income earners. And of course, the last sector we cover, listed BDCs, the debt BDC is about a 10.7 yield with a one-year dividend growth rate of 12%, three-year of 18.
So we're seeing good growth there. Give us a little bit of perspective in terms of that yield growth over time, because obviously over the last couple of years, we've watched interest rates pop. So I want to kind of know, have the closed-end funds kept pace?
Yeah, so it's really important. Remember, the yield is the current policy of the board. That's based over NAV, but then actually you buy and sell it at market prices. So discounts and NAV are very important. For the previous quarter and versus today, the REIT real asset funds have a 1% higher yield, which means like if a 7 is now an 8, not 1%, like a penny on a dollar. And BDCs are 40 basis points less, but that's because they're up so much. Their dividends are growing, but their market price have grown faster. If we go back to a really interesting time period, February 19th, 2020, we actually recorded a podcast. I was in the Aberdeen offices in New York on muni funds that day. The average fund right now is showing an indicated yield of 2% higher than that pre-COVID pullback, because NAVs are down, discounts are wide, even with the mix of all the flows. MLPs are only off 20 basis points. REIT real assets up over 400, senior loan up over 300, convertible up also over 300 basis points. It tells you how we're down on NAV, wide on discount, even with everything we've been through since pre-COVID.
So here you are, you started to bring discounts into the conversation. That is the other big selling point around yield as well. So where are discounts now? Because we keep talking about how they are so wide right now. That's really been a historical truism for this quarter, wasn't it?
It is. So for the whole universe, they've only been month-end wider 5% of the time since 1998. We use 25-year data at cefdata.com for the quarter end. Equity closed-end funds, only 12%. Taxable bond funds, 16%. And we alluded this could happen the last time we spoke, but muni closed-end funds have never been wider, 0% of the time wider, and almost 1% wider than the 08-09 month-end pullback. And if you think about all these discount wider times than right now, it was tech bubble crash 9/11. It was financial crisis, the energy 15-16 recession, which again wasn't the worst, but still noticeable, and COVID. And that really tells us that the pricing is very, very steep with a lot of tailwind optimism for the next 12 months.
I don't want to get too lost in the weeds on jargon, but given the distortion, if you will, when it comes to discounts, do we have a similar distortion when it comes to performance expectations? In other words, what's happening with these assets relative to the asset classes? How are closed-end funds doing when it comes to correlation with the assets they own?
Yeah. So, I mean, you do have to consider the NAVs that make sense for you, the asset allocation makes sense for you. We do that for our separately managed account clients. But I find it fascinating. Some similar tax-driven, you know, investments are very disconnected over time. We got 18-year quarterly NAV data. MLP funds only 33% correlated to munis. Preferreds only 52% correlated to munis. Munis only 16% correlated to BDCs. BDCs only 39% correlated to REIT or real asset funds. And then BDCs and senior loan funds, some might argue kind of the same thing, only 48% correlated. And then covered call funds are very common for tax-driven investors, 55% correlated to BDCs and 44% correlated to munis. It's a great chance to know that you can diversify the guts by being in more than one sector. And we use more than one manager to build our client portfolios.
Yeah. What that really means is if you're going to diversify your closed-end fund portfolio, you're going to get the real benefits of diversification.
And it is. And you should know discounts sometimes move the same direction for the weirdest of funds because the retail market is what the retail market is. But we think if you've got good entry point, manage what you're doing with thoughtfulness, you can create a much better experience than the, you know, being one fund in one sector.
And lastly, you know, one of the reasons that people go into closed-end funds is they're hoping that there's going to be a situation. And activist investors sometimes get involved and say, hey, this discount's a little too wide. Let's do something about it. Let's capture our money. What's been happening with activism?
So we did add a new slide this quarter on activism and activism followers flows. And the increased flows this quarter were the high yield bond sector, the multi-sector bond sector, preferred and REIT real asset. And the decrease in flows or the pullback was in U.S. international equity and senior loans. Look at the 13D filings, which is the general way to catch the activist work. There were 23 in the quarter versus 13 on average for the previous year, but there's been 59 year to date, definitely a heavy year of 13Ds for the environment. And we talk about activists and the followers that often quietly work with, not with them, but vote and because they do their work as professional investors. It's about $18 billion in assets. And the biggest are Saba at 2.3, Carpus and SIT at 1.8, and 1607 Capital, also here in Richmond, at just around $1 billion.
John, really great stuff. The quarter flew by. This flew by as best we could to get it all in. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for joining me again on The Navigator.
Always great to be here, Chuck.
The Navigator is a joint production of the Active Investment Company Alliance and Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. Yep, that's me. Learn about my hour-long weekday show at moneylifeshow.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. To learn more about closed-end funds, interval funds, and business development companies, go to AICAlliance.org. The website for the Active Investment Company Alliance, on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. Thanks to my guest, John Cole Scott, president of Closed End Fund Advisors in Richmond, Virginia, chairman of the Active Investment Company Alliance. The firm is online at cefadvisors.com and cefdata.com. John's on Twitter at John Cole Scott. And we have a link in the show notes to the portfolio we were discussing so that you can get all the information and take a good look at what's in there. The Navigator podcast is available every Friday. Be sure not to miss that or any episode by following us on your favorite podcast app. We'll be back next week. And until then, happy investing, everybody.